And welcome to Indie Business Radio for August 10th, 2009. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale, featuring the largest selection of naturally derived cosmetic bases in the world. Start your beauty business today at EssentialWholesale.com. If you're interested in listening to the show and you're at IndieBusinessRadio.com, I'm so excited to have you there. You can keep your volume turned up and head on over to join us for the live chat, too, if you'd like. Just follow the link you see at the radio show site to get to the live chat where we chatted up about our show. Well, as you know, no doubt know, last week, Twitter and Facebook were the subject of some horrendous cyber attacks. The reactions from around the world, especially from small business owners, pointed out how much we are relying on social media to connect with people who are interested in our products and services. If social media is that important, you can't afford to skip shows like this one, which feature the latest and greatest experts and authors who can help you use social media for the benefit of your business. My guest today does just that. Her name is Tara Hunt, and she is the author of The Woofy Factor, Using the Power of Social Networks to Build Your Business. Tara Hunt was the co-founder of Citizen Agency, a community marketing consulting firm based in San Francisco, and is now the leading marketing efforts for Intuit's partner platform. She has been cited in national newspapers such as the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, and is well known in the Web 2.0 technology and startup world for her community marketing experiences. Her blog, horsepigcow.com, explores themes in marketing and economics and has been pivotal in raising Tara's own woofy in the online marketing space. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Tara.
Thank you, Donna Maria. I'm glad to be here.
I'm going to start with the obvious question, Tara. In fact, before the show, people have been asking this question on Twitter. What is woofy? Tell us what that is.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny term. Definitely I get smiles whenever I use it in a non-web geek arena. Woofy is a fun word that was coined actually by Cory Doctorow, who is the lead editor behind Boing Boing, and he's also a science fiction writer, and he wrote a book many years ago called Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And woofy was a term that he gave to the currency of the future. And instead of being money, you had woofy, which, you know, was kind of, it was roughly equivalent to something like social capital. So when you ping somebody's woofy, you know, like you just send a message basically to a computer, a computer chip in somebody's brain, you got back relative score, and the score, high score means that they have high woofy, that they're probably really well connected, they're, you know, trustworthy, they're somebody that's done really cool stuff, and you know that you want to do business with them. And you raise woofy by being nice, you know, trustworthy, networked, and as well notable, doing really interesting things, giving back to the community, that sort of thing. And when I read this in this, you know, it, you know, work of fiction, and I think a lot of science fiction writers have said that they're not actually talking about the future. They talk about what's happening now, but just in a future kind of context. What I saw screaming at me was, that's actually how we relate to one another in online communities today. We ping each other's woofy all the time, right? So if you were to friend me on Facebook, and I haven't met you before, I would probably first go to see which friends that we have in common. Right? I'm pinging your woofy on one level. Oh, well, you and I know lots of people in common, a lot of people that I trust, so if you're friends with them, then I can trust that you'd be a good contact to have. And then sometimes you'll go a little bit deeper. Okay, who is this person that has contacted me out of the blue? Maybe on Twitter, somebody's, because there's no sort of friends of friends there. Oh, who is this that's following me now? You might go to their page, check out what they've been tweeting, maybe even go to their blog link, that sort of thing, and say, you know, read a little bit more into what they've been doing. If they're doing interesting stuff, that's stuff that, you know, relates to to you, then you probably follow them back and maybe start a conversation. So we're pinging each other's woofy all the time, and we choose to trust or not trust a recommendation or a new follower based on that person's woofy.
So, Tara, tell me this. Is another word for woofy something that people might have normally called kind of clout-like?
Well, I've actually never heard the clout used. I've heard karma. I've heard reputation. I've heard, what else? You know, just words like that. Trust, that sort of thing. So I guess clout would be another part of it. I like to align it a little bit closer with social capital because it doesn't only include your influence or clout or reputation, but it also includes the kind of positive contributions that you generally have to a community. It includes both negative and positive things that people say about you. It includes maybe you're not talked about a lot, but you're connected to a lot of people that are. So there's a lot of behind the scenes people that have a lot of woofy. And they don't necessarily put themselves up front, but they definitely have a lot of connections.
So you can get some third-party woofy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, you know, this is so fascinating because I want you to talk for a minute to people who are not new to social media, Tara. They understand how to use Facebook. They understand how to use Twitter and some of the other tools that you talked about. They're there. They have some conversations now and then, but they're a little bit challenged with how to create this kind of woofy that you're talking about. And it sounds like from what you're saying, and certainly from your book, that it's not really an option if you want to use it for your business. You kind of have to figure out how to fit it in. So can you talk to those people, again, who are not new to these tools, but just need some help kind of getting started with the mindset you need to start creating your own woofy?
Yeah, absolutely. The reason that I wrote the book in the first place, or wanted to put my ideas into book form, was because what I saw was that a lot of books were being written on, okay, here are the tools, and here's how to use them, and here's some sort of tips and tricks for using the tools. But very few people were actually talking about the relationships that I think are more important than the tools themselves. The tools are just catalysts to be able to connect to other people. So I wanted to write a book that focused on the relationships and why the relationships were important. And then you could take a book, you know, like a really awesome book like Twitter for Dummies, that sort of thing, and then actually apply a lot of the practical lessons to your new ideas of how to connect with people. And so, you know, you might be familiar with Facebook, and you might have a Facebook fan page or a Facebook group set up in which you invite people to. But if you're not, you know, creating that, if you want to create that group or that Facebook page and you're not really interacting, supplying valuable information, giving, you know, people ways to connect within that group or that fan page, your group will have a whole bunch of people join and then never really come back to it. So you're not really, you're not using that tool to its maximum capacity because you're not looking at it as a relationship catalyst. You're just looking at it as another, like, tool to grow numbers on. Same with Twitter. You can add people and start tweeting out and try to build followers. But unless you're having conversations and building deeper relationships on Twitter, when it comes time to analyze, you know, how useful Twitter has been, it's not going to be super useful. You might have a few click-throughs on articles or deals or that sort of thing, but unless you've established relationships, you're not going to get very far. And I have a really great example that I learned of after the book. There's a guy named JR, and he's down in Houston, and he has a coffee shop, and right now my brain went blank, but it'll come back to me as we were talking. So JR thought, well, you know, I should try out this Twitter thing, see what it's all about. And he came into it with a really healthy attitude. Not like, let's get a whole bunch of people following my Twitter account. Let's just find out what people's needs are in a local Houston area when it comes to, you know, the stuff that he supplies. Coffee, you know, space for meetups, that sort of thing. And so he started following local Houstonites until one day one of the local Houstonites tweeted that they were running late for a meeting. God, they really needed a coffee, wished there was a way to get one on the go, and sort of was having a bad day. So JR piped up at that time and said, hey, you know, what are you taking your coffee if you swing by, you know, my coffee shop, basically, I will have something ready for you on the outside, and don't worry about, you know, paying, you can get me later. Okay. And this story started to spread throughout the Houston community, and next thing you know, all sorts of people were going to the coffee shop, and all sorts of people were tweeting about it, and all sorts of people were getting together and having tweet-ups, and all sorts of gatherings, and now JR's coffee shop has become the sort of central location for the social geeks in Houston.
Wow, that's a great story, and I want to thank Erica O'Grady on Twitter for sharing the Twitter name of that coffee shop that you're talking about. It's Coffee Grounds with a Z.
Thank you, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you, Erica, for sharing that. So, Tara, it sounds like the right approach, the right mindset is essentially going on to, as you described, what the owner of Coffee Grounds did, and just ask, how maybe can I use this tool to help other people? How can I be helpful? How can I share what I have to offer that would enhance other people's lives?
Yeah, how can I make my business better for my customers, for my potential customers, by using this, rather than how can I just gain more eyeballs, right? Which is a very traditional way of looking at, you know, at marketing, which, you know, I think during the first wave and also during the first part of the social networking, we saw a lot of businesses doing, oh, how can we gain as many users as possible? It's not about that. It's about really, really learning from the tools. And in fact, my first step in the Woofy factor in approaching this is to turn the bullhorn around. Stop talking and just start listening. Just exactly what JR did with Coffee Grounds.
That's excellent. And, you know, it's kind of hard, I would guess, for newcomers, because the first thing you see when you sign up for a service like Twitter, even if you have the mindset that you just described, is a bunch of people saying, hi, welcome to Twitter. Here's how to get a billion followers. Click this link.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Those services I have a bit of an issue with, because there's a false, what's created is this false sense of I guess, what Twitter is about. Instead of being quality, it's quantity. And really, when you sign up for those services, I think the way they work is that everybody that signs up for them is signed up to follow one another. So basically, it's a whole bunch of people who want a land grab who are following one another. It becomes this really unfortunate echo chamber and not the place that you want to be subscribing to.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because there are certainly, as I said, when new people come, it's just, you know, there's so much chatter, and one of your chapters in your book talks about kind of the chaos that's there and how it looks to a newcomer. So here we are. We want to make sure everybody hears this. Miss Rogue said it. And by the way, that's where you can find Tara on Twitter, at Miss Rogue, that, you know, when you first sign up for these services, don't be overtaken by the companies that are out there trying to help you get followers. Be focused, as Tara's sharing with us. So, Tara, so if that's the mindset that we have when we come on board, it sounds almost like what you're saying is that it begins to happen naturally if you simply are sincere and authentic in the way you reach out to people just to make new connections.
Yeah, well, it's somewhat akin to, you know, moving to a new city or a new neighborhood, which I'm very much in the middle of right now, right, in Montreal. And this is what I'm doing on Twitter is I'm following a lot of people that live in this new city that I've moved to. And when I see them talking with somebody else that's local, then I will add that person and see what they have to say. I'm finding out about new events that way. I'm finding out about things that are happening on the sort of the tech scene that I'm interested in. That way I can start to drum up conversations and build more relationships, more people that I can hang out with and not sit at home on a Friday or Saturday night. Like, but that's my personal approach, but why can't it also be my professional approach? I'm sure many of these people that I'm connecting with now will be people that I work with down the line.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there are also people who are there for personal reasons as well as business reasons all combined together.
So yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, we're going to take our first break and come back and talk with Tara Hunt, the author of The Whoopee Factor, in just a few minutes. Don't touch that mouse, and if you're in the chat room, feel free to chat your questions or comments to Tara. We'll share them live on the air. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Don't touch that mouse. This is Indie Business Radio, your host, Donna Maria.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and today we are talking with Tara Hunt, the author of The Whoopee Factor, Using the Power of Social Networks to Build Your Business. And for those of you who'd like to join us on the chat, if you just go to twitter.com/indiebusiness, which is where you can find me on Twitter, all my last few posts will lead you directly to the chat room so you can talk with Tara. And if you want to follow Tara on Twitter, you can simply go to twitter.com/MissRogue, R-O-G-U-E. Tara, before we took our break, we were talking about the social capital, the Whoopee that you described. And I'd like to ask you this. If you have Whoopee, how does money fit into that? I know your book talks a lot about, social capital as opposed to financial capital, but you think they're closely related. Can you share a little bit about why that is?
Yeah, well, one of my chapters, I think, is titled, you can't eat Whoopee, but it's getting harder and harder to eat without it. So what that really means is that Whoopee and social capital are very much what drives people's income these days, right? So if a business has no Whoopee or is in a Whoopee deficit, what I define as what you've sort of lost Whoopee, you're not going to get any business any longer. You're going to start to see people go to your competitors. Some people get so upset when you've damaged your Whoopee that they will in fact go out wider and damage your Whoopee further. So if you've really ticked off a customer, I think the most recent publicized version of this was the United Airlines Breaks Guitars song by the band. Which was spread far and wide, and definitely, I would think, hurt Whoopee for United. In fact, it conglomerated all the people that had bad experiences with United Airlines and created this big voice for anti-woofy for United Airlines. Mm-hmm. So that's how social capital and negative social capital will affect your bottom line, your market capital negatively. And adversely, you know, if you have good social capital, people will spread the word for your business far and wide, and you'll gain customers. And when you gain customers, of course, you gain money, and you can put food on the table and pay your employees and grow your business. So it's really closely tied together. So and it's really helped me personally as I've been able to raise my own woofy over the years by doing things like giving back to the community, by trying to you know, involve as many people as possible in what I'm working on, so therefore being open and transparent.
Okay.
by showing that I'm trustworthy, I've gained a lot of business that way, and I ended up gaining my book deal that way, and my speaking gigs, and you know, radio shows like this, which lead to more business as well. So if you're raising woofy, you're also raising your opportunities for making money and being able to survive. So I don't think it replaces, I think it enhances. And it's always been there like that. It's nothing new. It's just now more and more visible through the internet and online social networks.
Right. Now, we're talking to entrepreneurs and small businesses today, of course, Tara, and of course, entrepreneurship is risky any way you look at it from many perspectives. You're taking a chance and you're investing your resources to create a successful business that will have a return for you. And if woofy is a part of that, talk to us a little bit, Tara, about the risks associated with creating woofy. Are there any?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's like that whole, the adage, you know, you can only please some of the people some of the time. No matter what you do as a business owner, even if it's couched in, you know, something that is well-meaning,
mm-hmm.
you could potentially come across a customer that's unhappy, or perhaps even competitors, and I've seen this happen many times, where competitors will set up fake woofy damaging sites. There's a, you know, I don't work for Intuit anymore. I'm independent again. But when I was working for Intuit, there were many smaller accounting software packages that would set up these anti-Intuit sites and pretend that they were ex-customers. So that sort of thing does happen, where people will, especially when you get to a point where you have a lot of woofy, people will try to damage your woofy and spread negative things about your company. But and if you keep your reputation good, if you make sure that you don't, you know, you don't give in to the fight that's been picked with you, don't respond to, I talk about this a little bit in gathering feedback and turning the bullhorn around. You know, don't feed the trolls is one of the things that I like to talk about. Is once you feed the trolls, and these are the people that try to damage your woofy because you are getting a lot of attention, then you will damage your own woofy. But instead, if you act like a mature human being and address real concerns and approach any sort of controversy or approach any sort of mistakes you made, you know, with humility, then you're going to be smooth sailing. I think that companies that get into trouble reputation-wise, the worst thing they can do is go silent or produce some sort of corporate message to deny any wrongdoing. Instead, doing what they have the opportunity to do, which increases a lot of woofy, is to engage on a very human level, engage on a level with a lot of humility, and what they'll end up doing is gaining way more woofy than they had before.
Excellent. Don't feed the troll. I like that. Tara, in your book, you talk about some of the uncertainties associated with creating Woofie, and I just want to read a little section here and ask you to comment on it. It's for anyone who has the book on page 205. It says, "Yes, there is great fear and uncertainty. Things could go terribly wrong on a moment's notice. Your intentions could be misread. Opportunities could take a long time to manifest, leaving you feeling afraid that you've made wrong decisions. A community in which you've invested time and energy could revolt and take everyone everywhere else in a flash. Everyone elsewhere in a flash. Yes, embracing the chaos is frightening, but there is a huge upside." I want you to comment on that and then share with us what some of those upsides are.
Yeah, so I think some of the examples that I was referring to are things like Flickr. For instance, many years ago when Flickr has been a well-loved photo community for many years, and people were crazy, passionate, community members behind it, but then Yahoo bought Flickr, and then I think when the Yahoo ID integration happened, there was a huge revolt. And we see this as well now on Facebook and on Twitter when things happen that, you know, especially early adopters of the community are not happy with. There is a mass attempt at an exodus from any one of these services, right? It's like, I don't like what they're doing, so in order to pressure this company to do what I want them to do, I'm going to take all of my followers with me. I think, Robert Scoble has threatened this before as well. What happens is, that's the downside, right? Because when you get people passionate about your company, and you do something that they're not happy with, and sometimes you have to do that, right? Flickr had to integrate with Yahoo, and Facebook had to move forward and, you know, update news feeds and that sort of thing. Sometimes this happens, that you get these huge revolts. You see passionate people, but there's a huge opportunity as well in that as well. So number one is a learning. There's an opportunity for learning, which Facebook has found over the years, right, is they used to unleash their new features in an, you know, overnight, and people would freak out. So the news feed, for instance, people freaked out, were doing this big revolt or wanting to create this big revolt from Facebook, and now when Facebook rolls out new features, it beta tests. And it communicates what they're doing, and it gives people some chance to get used to new features. So they've learned from those mistakes, which makes people like Facebook more at that point. So there's the opportunity for them. Then there's also the opportunity to do right by our users. And I think when Flickr put on, a cap, I guess, to the amount of people that you could follow.
Mm-hmm.
About 2 years ago, I think that was, and there was a huge revolt, and a lot of people were really upset about it. Well, they went back and they actually talked to the community members and found out why somebody would actually follow, 3,000 people on Flickr, and found that there were perfectly good reasons for a lot of them following 3,000 people, so they adjusted their rules so that it would accommodate users at that point, and because of that, they got huge, huge kudos. And what's really nice about all these things is whether it's a mistake or whether it's rectifying that mistake or learning from that mistake, at each time, you know, if you can demonstrate you're listening to your community, you're responding, and you care, you're going to spread the word even further. So that's the huge upside, is that, maybe you have risk, maybe you have problems associated with, but those are good problems to have because that means you have people that care and people that will help you grow your business going forward versus a company that doesn't have a community, and when they make changes, they don't get that feedback that they need to grow, and they don't get that word of mouth from their customer community that says that, you know, this company listens. They don't have all of that great feedback and word of mouth and community love that that these passionate communities that you'll find around Twitter and Flickr and Apple, et cetera, have.
Or how does a blog fit into logical social media outreach where a small business is concerned?
Well, you know, blog allows for two-way communication. So I think, you know, are you referring to the inception of blogs, the growth of blogs for small businesses?
Well, I'm thinking more about, I guess I'm thinking more about small business owners who may have a blog but are challenged a little bit by how best to incorporate it into some of the social media tools that we're talking about, like Flickr and Facebook and Twitter being the main three that you've discussed here today. So those are all owned by third parties, right? But your blog is something that you own. So I'm looking to you to see if there are any tips or experiences that you can offer from the people you interviewed in your book, et cetera, to shine some light on the interaction between those things and your blog for the benefit of your business.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about a blog, as you pointed out, is you can own that space, first of all, and you can own the content, especially if you use like a WordPress self-install or another CMS that you can host on your own server. So you own that content. And I know actually a lot of people that feed Twitter and Flickr photos, et cetera, through their blogs so that they always have a backup of the content that they create. I think that's the big debate that's going on right now. You know, Twitter, they only keep they're only allowing for, I think it's 6 months back search. So if you've been tweeting for 3 years, you lose, you know, 2.5 years of tweets, basically, if you want to go back and reference them. But if you're feeding them through your blog, then you have that ability to look back through what you've talked about in the past and the conversations you've had in the past. But I think the second part of a blog that's really nice is that you can amalgamate all those different forms of media that you have everywhere. Now with Facebook Connect, you can bring your Facebook friends into your blog. You can, you know, publish tweets on your blog. You can write, you know, longer articles. You can publish your photos on your blog. You can bring in a more multimedia sort of timeline onto your blog, which is really mm-hmm. fantastic, and have it there as a reference for the future. Now, you can also have deeper conversations.
Hey, Tara, I love that multimedia word that you said right towards the end there. We're going to have to take our final break.
Okay.
We're going to come back, and I apologize, we're going to let you finish that thought and talk more about that multimedia platform that small business owners can set up for themselves and use. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here talking with Tara Hunt, the author of The Woofy Factor, Using the Power of Social Networks to Build Your Business. And before we took our final break, Tara was sharing with us from her perspective about the importance or the significance of having your blog, the space that you own and the space that you control, in order to, you know, expose your business and what you're doing to as many people as possible. And one of the words that you used, Tara, was multimedia, like a multimedia platform. Can you expand upon that? What does that mean for small business owners who really, you know, they have a great product or a wonderful service, but they really just don't see themselves, I guess, in that light as publishers, if you will?
Yeah, I sure can expand on that. I think, you know, this is where we cross the personal with the professional a little bit again, and I like to remove that line as much as possible. But many years ago, about maybe 6 or even 7 years ago, one of my mentors, David Weinberger, who is one of the authors of the Coutrain Manifesto, I think the tome of our time, he spoke at the Library of Congress, and he had a quote that really floored me and really drove home what was happening. If he said, we are writing our history one blog post at a time. And now, I mean, we can add Twitter and, you know, posting photos and that sort of thing, the multimedia part of it. But, you know, what he's referring to, what I think is really powerful, whether it's for an individual or for a business, is that we're creating a history of our lives, of our business, of what's going on, the ups and downs, the release cycles, that sort of thing, which we can look back at any given point and see where we have come from. And I think that's important when we're establishing social capital. We're establishing Woofy. We're establishing that we are, in fact, trustworthy. There's human beings behind this. There's a reason for somebody to really believe in your business. Is if you can establish this, if you can, you know, this whole being a publisher is what are we publishing? We're publishing our histories as it happens. We're publishing our thoughts and feelings around subjects. Even as businesses, having just moved to Montreal, I tend to go to businesses with blogs or websites with some sort of, you know, story to them. And that's what I think a lot of people are drawn to that. They're drawn to knowing that there are human beings behind those businesses and what's their story. And where do I want to lend my support? Where do a lot of people want to lend their support? Is to a business that is human, that we know will treat us like human beings as well.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting that you talk about, quote-unquote, owning that space, as you said earlier, because when Twitter and Facebook were not accessible last week, I think a lot of people kind of got that reminder that it's important to create content that you somehow maintain control over, to the extent possible in this technologically advanced world.
Yeah. Well, the difference is, I was before Twitter. I was blogging multiple times a day, sometimes even, and I had I still have a nice audience of people that, you know, give me great feedback and contribute to my thought process on my blog. But what Twitter all of a sudden allowed was, like, because it was a smaller 140 characters, was this explosion of continuous partial attention, I think is what it's called. People that are following with continuous partial attention, right, at any given time. So it allows me to spread the word further, but it doesn't allow me to get as deep as I can on my blog. And I still have that really, you know, dedicated group of people that are reading my blog, and you know, I read their blogs, and we learn from each other. Get a little bit of that on Twitter, but I think the blog is where you can really get into the meat of things. And I'm way behind on blog posts right now, which this is reminding me.
I think I think probably a lot of us are. But that's a really good point, though, because what you're able to do, I mean, it sounds like it ties right into your woofy, because if continuous partial attention is good, then continuous or partial attention coupled with a niche of people who provide more than that and interact with you has got to be even better, would you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. So this actually segues nicely into like the study of social capital, and it's been said that there are two general types of social capital. One is bridging capital. That's the kind of social capital that you have when you have lots and lots of connections, but you only have maybe very shallow, light sort of relationships with each one of those contacts. So you can call people up at any given time and ask for a connection to another person, or you can, you stop in the street and chat with them or invite them to an event. But then there's the other type of capital, is bonding capital. And these are the deeper relationships you have. These are the people in your life that you can call and ask to help you move. You can call when you're having a bad day. You can, these are the people that you can really trust, that really have your back. And it's been said that both bonding and bridging capital is essential to growing your business and also keeping your business afloat during tough times. So right this last year, we've been suffering a huge economic downturn. A lot of businesses are scared. I know even my business, which is a not-for-profit, the co-working space that I have in San Francisco, is treading on thin ice. And these are the times that those really deep relationships come into play. Mm-hmm. These are the times that the bonded capital that you've raised, and this often comes from deep conversations that you're having on the blog to in-person sort of meetings. The people that you can talk to at length versus those that you have really light contact with on Twitter, for instance.
And Tara, is that bonded capital or bonding capital?
Bonding capital.
Bonding capital, good, that's what I thought. So let's wrap up. I can't believe that we're practically out of time. I want to encourage everyone who's had their interest stimulated by this conversation to head over to Twitter on @MissRogue and click right straight through to Tara's website, where you can get more information about this book and how you can purchase it, The Woofy Factor, Using the Power of Social Networks to Build Your Business. So in closing, Tara, I'd like to ask you, what are some of the major don'ts? If you were to give three or four things to people who were new to this concept of social capital, what would you say are the biggest mistakes that people can make in developing it? The ones that we definitely want to avoid at all costs.
Well, I think according to and reiterated from our earlier conversation is don't think about quantity. Don't go on to these networks and subscribe to services that will give you, 1,000 new followers a day. That is, number one, the surefire way to turn off, real potential relationships that you could gain from these social networks, and it's also going to give you a false sense of the kind of relationships that you can gain on these social networks. The number two don't is don't just talk, don't just broadcast, don't just publish outwards. The most important thing that you'll learn from social networking is that it's not about you. It's about your customers, the other people that are out there. The more that you give, the more that you open up, the more that you listen, the more that you will gain from it. So don't just look at it as a publishing outwards platform. It's also about very much, first and foremost, about coming inwards. And number three is don't be impatient. These things take time, just like any relationship that you want to build. Trust and reputation and word of mouth, all that stuff, if it's real, is going to take time. I can't tell you whether it's 6 days or 6 years or somewhere in between 6 months, but these things do take time. lot of humility. They take a lot of patience. So don't be impatient. Definitely set out to have a big learning period and to have a lot of patience.
Good points. So, Tara, where can we go to learn more about you? I know we mentioned your website, but I understand you do some readings. I've been following you for a while and clicking through to some of the things that you're doing. You do readings. You do a lot of traveling. Well, we can come and meet you and learn more about what you have to offer and get some more tips from you. Where can we go? Where are you going to be?
Where am I going to be? Oh, lots of different places. There's a couple of different conferences that I'm speaking at in the fall, in November, the National Association of Realtors. I'm speaking there. I'm speaking at the Berkeley School of Journalism conference on the Google campus in September, and that's in Mountain View. I definitely do a lot of travel. You'll see me every year at conferences like South by Southwest Interactive in Austin. I think that takes place again in March of next year. And I definitely am always there. I'm now living in Montreal, so I'll be hanging out on the scene. It's the beautiful city to visit. So, and I've got a great guest room, so feel free to come by.
Oh, wow. That's a nice invitation.
Yeah. Oh, it's, I stand by, my word that I'm very open to, you know, meeting anybody and everybody out there. You never know what opportunity exists in that. And then definitely you can find me online anytime and, you know, follow where I'm going to be going through either my Twitter account, which is Miss Rogue, MISSROGUE, or on Horse Pig Cow. I also have a book website. So many things to keep updated at thewoofyfactor.com as well. That'll post my book tour dates.
Well, good. It sounds like there's lots of places for us to go. It sounds like it's really easy to access all of them if we start with your Twitter page, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the most frequently updated. Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Tara, the author of The Woofy Factor, Using the Power of Social Networks to Build Your Business. Check her out on twitter.com/MissRogue. I've got a lot of fantastic shows coming up for you, everyone. Next week, we have Mike Schultz, the author of Professional Services Marketing. He's going to be joining us to share the best strategies used by professional service providers to market effectively and position for growth. And then on August 24th, I'm excited to have Lisa Nichols, the author of No Matter What. She joins us to share her secrets for overcoming all kinds of adversity so you can shine your brightest and accomplish your goals. Lots more shows listed at the radio website at indiebusinessradio.com. I hope you'll check it out there. And also, please visit my blog at indiebusinessblog.com to get some more information, some more tools and tips and tricks for how you can enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way right here at All Things Indie. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone, at the website and also in the chat room. We had a really great time. I'll see you next week on Indie Business Radio. Have a wonderful week, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.